Hello, everybody, and welcome to a special playoff edition of the Football Focus Podcast brought to you by Tommy's Pizza 2. William Gagan here with Kevin Pomeroy. Thanksgiving is in the books, some good stuff on Thanksgiving, and now we are right into the high school football postseason. We've got two Division I matchups to talk about. Our big one, Cranston East against Hendricken, Tuesday night at 6 o'clock at Hendricken. A rematch of an interesting game in the regular season. It was a big game for both teams. Hendricken won 21-14. Now they get together again. Hendricken is the 2, East is the 3. And I think, you know, if we want to start in discussing this, we look at that first game and you know, try to take some things from that.
It was kind of in the middle of the season when they first met, and both teams were unbeaten. And I remember we were talking about it a lot as one of the biggest games, if not the biggest game in the state up to that point. And it kind of lived up to that. I mean, it was a little sloppy on both ends. There were a lot of penalties and that sort of thing. But a 7-point game between two undefeated teams. East played well enough to win, at least in their minds. And Hendricken did win, so you know, it was even in that regard. And as the season wore on, we saw that these Division I teams that had separated themselves into the playoff race, LaSalle, Portsmouth, Hendricken, and East, when they got together, it usually wasn't all that competitive. LaSalle beat up on everybody. Hendricken struggled against Portsmouth. You know, the East Portsmouth game was fairly competitive, but that was the other exception besides this one. So this was one of the rare competitive games among the top four teams, which leads us to believe, I think, that these two teams are really, really evenly matched.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really interesting playoff matchup. I think if you talk to both coaches, they would tell you they need to play a lot better than they played against each other in the regular season, because East didn't get everything going that it needed to, had a lot of drives it would like to take back, a lot of moments it would like to take back, and Hendricken was sloppy in that game, a lot of penalties, really never got going offensively. So it's a situation where they both need to play better. As we look ahead to this matchup, it's certain areas I think really stand out. For East, one of the big ones is protecting the quarterback and getting Alex Corvisi some time to throw.
Yeah, I mean, when he has time to throw, he's been one of the most effective quarterbacks in the state. He's thrown 22 touchdown passes on the year. I'm not sure anyone else can say that, maybe Anthony Francis. But so he's been very, very effective when given the chance to throw. But against Hendricken, it seemed like every time he drops back, either Jared Witherspoon or Mario McLean or somebody else was right in his face. And as Hendricken got a late lead, they scored with a couple minutes left. They kind of pinned their ears back and came at Corvisi, and that was that. I mean, he barely got a throw off from there on out. And part of that, I think, is East perhaps getting a little too pass-happy at times, especially when they do have a solid running game. And part of it is the fact that Hendricken has a really, really good pass rush and was just kind of able to neutralize what East wanted to do. So if East is going to win this game, I think they have to improve on, A, protecting the passer, and B, maybe finding a little bit of a better balance, not putting Corvisi in a situation where he has to throw the ball 25, 30 times. Ideally, they want to throw the ball, but if they can throw it 20 times, you know, 22 times somewhere in there, and really, really get the running game going a little bit more with E.J. Isom and Marquis Monroe and those guys, I think that's a better formula for success against Hendricken than just dropping back and trying to throw, because Hendricken is some of the best pass rushers in the entire state.
Yeah, and Hendricken's defensive backs are really quick, too, and can actually match up with East receivers, which is something a lot of teams can't do. So that's something to watch as well. On Hendricken's side, I think the biggest thing they need to improve on is just playing sound football, playing disciplined football, because they're not a team that's going to blow you out of the water offensively. They're going to play defense, and they're going to not make mistakes. And in that game, they made a lot of mistakes, so I think they'll try to clean that up. They're coming off a Thanksgiving game where I think they only had one penalty, so that's a good sign for them.
And one of the things that they've always done well, or at least over the last 3 years, including this year, is kind of out-fundamental you. You know, they don't commit penalties, they don't turn the ball over, they just do things the right way. It's not always the flashiest in the world, but as long as they keep doing them the right way, they keep moving the ball, even if it's just short chunks, it's enough to keep the chains moving. That turns into points, and they end up, you know, flip-flopping total possession because they're beating you in the turnover margin. So they do that sort of thing, and that's really worked to their success against East. Like you said, they didn't necessarily do that, and that's why they didn't feel necessarily lucky, but they felt, you know, like they could have lost that game, I think. So I think they were happy to get out of that with a win when they played sort of an un-Hendricken-like game. I don't think they can escape if they do that again. If they commit penalties, if they're throwing interceptions and fumbling. I mean, they fumbled with a minute left in the game when they almost just could have kneeled to win the game. I mean, it was that sort of thing that you don't see too often from them. So I don't think they will do that just because they have a track record of not doing that, both, you know, in big games over the last 3 years and in playoff games. And because I don't think they can win like that, and I think they know that. And I think they put the emphasis on trying to correct that. They watched this film. They know that was almost their downfall the first time they played, and they're not going to be able to escape it again if it happens.
Hendricken is coming off a pretty easy win over Tollgate on Thanksgiving. It wasn't the most challenging game for them. Tollgate's had a really rough year in Division II. So Hendricken used it as an opportunity to try some things out, tune some things up, and they got rest for some guys. You know, there were a couple of starters who were in street clothes on the bench because they just knew they didn't need them, and they didn't want to, you know, just wear these guys down. So they should be well rested. They should be healthy. And like you just mentioned, they're going to be ready for this big game. It's 2 years in a row where they have, hosted a home playoff game. This is third in a row. Yeah. The two prior, they took care of business against, teams that they were favored against, especially last year against a South Kingstown team that's kind of in a similar position as Cranston East. Upstart team, best year they've ever had in Division One, and Hendricken came out after beating them close in the regular season and pretty much blew them away in the postseason.
Yeah, parallels are very, very similar. South Kingstown rose up, knew they were going to be good at the beginning of the year and kind of met their expectations, kind of with a team that nobody really wanted to play because they sort of believed in themselves. East, this is their third year in Division One, first year they've really had a chance to go anywhere in it, and on paper, they look like they can stay with Hendricken just like South Kingstown did last year and had during the regular season. And yeah, like you just said, they played that game at Hendricken. And I don't remember what the exact score was at halftime, but it was almost over by halftime. I remember I was there, I was covering it. It was 21-0 or 28-0. I mean, Hendricken just blew the doors off of South Kingstown in that game. I don't necessarily expect that to happen again, but it's a similar situation in that I think Hendricken kind of sees the moment. They change a little bit when the playoffs get here. I think they realize now that they've won two in a row. Last year they realized they won the year before, Super Bowls. I think they realize that these are the moments that are going to be go down in history. These are the big games. These are why they came to Hendricken to play in games like this. And I think that's something they really, really take stock of. So they, over the last 2 years, they have never not come through in one of these games. Even 2 years ago, you were at that semifinal game against East Providence. They nearly lost it.
Right. That was a crazy game, and they maybe should have lost it, but they found a way.
Yeah. Last year's Super Bowl against LaSalle, obviously, big time underdogs. They come through in that one and pull off the huge upset. So they just sort of have a track record of coming through when it really matters most in these playoff games. But those are with some different kids, some different guys that were in crucial roles as opposed to this year's team. So nothing is certainly set in stone in terms of how these guys will come out. But at least if you look back at the past and the history over the last couple of years, Hendricken's going to put his best foot forward in this game.
Yeah, you would think that is a safe bet that, regardless of the outcome, Hendricken, you can guess, will put its best foot forward. East is coming in I wouldn't say limping, but they had a tough game against LaSalle. They lost. They had a tough game against South Kingstown that they survived. But then they did come on strong on Thanksgiving, took care of business against Cranston West, which earned them the third seed for the playoffs, which is something they really, really wanted.
And no one wants to go to LaSalle. Yeah. And that 1-4 game is so tough because of how good LaSalle has been. I mean, they're 8-0. What you want to do at this point, when the only four teams make the playoffs, is just get to the Super Bowl. If you get there, then it's one game and anything can happen, like we saw last year. So East wanted to avoid LaSalle for that sort of reason. No four seed's ever beaten a one seed. They didn't want to be put in that scenario. So they were 3 now, facing a 2. And in order to get there, they had to beat West on Thanksgiving. And they didn't play a perfect game by any means. It was only 8-0 at the half. West was really fired up coming out for that game and really wanted it for pride reasons. And in the second half, though, East kind of realized what was going on, said, we have to win this game. We want to be that 3 seed. They started throwing the ball a little more and taking advantage of some mismatches. And before you know it was a blowout. I mean, that second half was dominant. They ran 4 times as many plays as West did. West was turning the ball over. I mean, it was a really, really, really strong performance from the third quarter on for East. So I think that's good that they can build on that going in, despite the fact that they haven't necessarily played some of their best football down the stretch. The last 2 quarters of football they played were some of their best football.
Yeah. The game I'm looking at for East is, it's tough to compare because it's very different players, but 2 years ago, East went into a regular season finale against LaSalle and had nothing to play for against a really good LaSalle team and just blew them out of the water. They caught fire, got momentum, went in there with that underdog mentality that nobody's given us a chance, we're on the road, and they just buckled down. And I think if East can do that again, that gives them the best chance because their skill players can do it, and their defense can do it, and they have all the ability in the world. It's that attitude. They have to get that right attitude and that mindset that that it is possible and that they can do it, and they just have to stick together and be consistent.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true, and they have to build on that and also realize that this is the playoffs and not sort of not back down, but not be a little bit overwhelmed by the lights, by the crowd, by the atmosphere, by everything that it means, because there's going to be a huge crowd there. I mean, it's going to be as big a crowd as there was on Thanksgiving with the stakes even higher. It's going to be a largely pro-Hendrickson crowd, and they're going to be going against a team that's won the last two Super Bowls that is probably a little bit favored because they're the number two seed and beat them during the regular season. I mean, that there's a lot of factors there that make it tough for East to come out and play the game it wants to, and they've never really been there before, like we talked about. This is their first foray into the playoffs in Division One, whereas Hendrickson, you know, is basically there every year. They're looking for their sixth Super Bowl appearance in 7 years, I believe. So they've been around this area. East hasn't. Something to take away from the first time they played, though, with that big crowd. Like we said, neither team played great, but I didn't get the sense that East was overwhelmed by that moment.
Yeah.
You know, I thought they showed up and thought they could play with Hendrickson, nearly beat them. You know, it just seemed like they were okay and comfortable being one of the top teams in Division One. That was a regular season matchup. This is a playoff matchup, a little bit different. But there are some things to suggest that East will not be overwhelmed by what's going to happen here on Tuesday.
Apart from mindsets and all that kind of stuff, when you're talking about actual matchups on the field, I think one of the biggest keys for Hendrickson will be running the ball. This is a team that can pass it at times, but their strength is just using their big offensive line, opening holes, and letting their running backs just kind of run free, and even getting quarterback Patrick Gilson opportunities, because they're all quick. Remington Blue, 851 yards rushing this season. Power Kanga, the sophomore, has 501 yards, and he ran really well on Thanksgiving. So that definitely shapes up as a key, I think, for Hendrickson.
And it's not just that's their key in terms of what they do best. I think it's also not necessarily a hole in East defense, but if you had to pick a way to attack them, I think it is on the ground.
Yep.
They're really, really good at defending the pass. As Hendrickson saw last time, they didn't complete a ton of passes, and no team really has against East. The way to beat East so far this year has been to kind of pound the ball, and when teams have done that, they have beaten East. So Hendrickson sees that, and that's their strength, so it kind of is a perfect storm in that regard. If East is going to win, they're going to have to tighten up on the interior there a little bit and stop the guys like Remington Blue and Power Kanga and Patrick Gill, like you mentioned. And it's not necessarily the big play runs. It's not that they're going to get outside and run for 40 yards. It's that they're going to pick up 6, 7, 8 yards a carry, keep the drive moving, control the time of possession. And when something like that happens, it's tough to recover. And it keeps your defense tired. It wears you down. And then, you know, Hendrickson racks up the points. And by the fourth quarter, you're tired and they're winning.
Yeah. And on the other side, we mentioned East sometimes getting pass happy, but it is perfectly understandable because of the ability they have out there. And when it works, I mean, the Portsmouth game is a perfect example. East scored 51 points.
Yeah.
Did anyone score 51 in Division One other than...
All year? No. Yeah. No, I don't think
so. So, I mean, they have the ability. And I think while we talked about how they want to get the run going, they want to pound the ball. They have to be able to throw it as well. And I think they have so many weapons, especially with Marvin Beauvais, such an advantage out there, and Markeem Monroe, that if East can protect Alex Corvisi and throw the ball well, then that gives them, I think, a big edge.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they've had 9 different players catch touchdown passes this year. I mean, that's pretty impressive. So we always talk about Marvin, and rightfully so. I mean, he has 10 touchdown catches for them. He leads them in receptions. He leads them in yards. He leads them in touchdowns. He's their number one guy. And I think for them, when they see him in one-on-one coverage with no safety over the top, not every time, but a lot of the times, they have to know that's when they can take their shots, because Hendrickson will probably double him a lot, and, you know, it's tough to complete a pass with a double coverage. But when they have somebody up, I think those fade routes and those go routes and even slants and that sort of thing are going to be there, just because he's so difficult to play one-on-one. And if East can recognize when those opportunities are there, I think they have to go there. But, you know, we talk about Marvin. There's also Nick Ferry. He has 3 touchdowns on the year. Monroe's a great receiver out of the backfield. Jimmy Saab has 3 touchdowns on the year, had one on Thanksgiving. Tyler Sulo, another kid they'll throw to. I mean, there's Terry Thompson. I mean, there's a lot of different guys they can throw to. So if you do double Marvin, which a lot of teams do, you leave most of those other guys in man coverage, and they can beat you too. So that's why we've talked about Corvisi needs to play a little bit better in this game if they're going to have a chance to win, because he's got to be able to identify where those single coverages are, where people are open when they do go 3 or 4 wide, and he's got to be able to throw the ball to those guys and move the chains.
All right. Well, obviously, since we're talking about it this much, we think it's going to be pretty interesting.
Yes.
But it is prediction time, and we're going to go with the Hawks in this one, 24-19. Let's move on.
We went with Eastern.
We did go with Eastern.
We got burned on that one,
so we won't make the same mistake. But I think it is going to be a really good game. I think both teams have a good shot to win. We want to talk very quickly about the other Division I game, LaSalle against Portsmouth. LaSalle comes in unbeaten, looking for a Super Bowl championship and the unquestioned favorite at this point. But as we were talking about this earlier, I think if there's a team that can play LaSalle's game and keep up with LaSalle, then it's Portsmouth.
Yeah, this is the matchup LaSalle probably wanted to avoid. I mean, they think they're going to win. I'm sure they're confident going into this, but in a perfect world, they would not be playing Portsmouth in the first round. LaSalle has a little bit of a history at times of not coming through in big games. I mean, it's just the way things have worked out. I mean, last year is an example. So this is a semifinal game. No one has ever lost to a four. It would be shocking to a lot of people if it did happen. It'd be shocking to pretty much everybody if it did happen. But I think Portsmouth presents the best opportunity for a team to knock off LaSalle. Other teams could do it. If LaSalle gets to the Super Bowl, we'll see if Hendrick and East could do it. But Portsmouth can run. They can throw. They're fast. You know, they can score. They've scored the most points in the division, with LaSalle scoring the second most. And we always talk about LaSalle's high-powered offense and all their skill guys. Portsmouth has four or five skill guys that really, really rival them, and they've actually scored more points than LaSalle has this year. So if you're going to get into a shootout, maybe Hendrickson can't keep up with LaSalle in a shootout. Maybe East can't, although that's debatable. Portsmouth can, I think, if they play well. And that's why the matchup is just a little bit tricky for LaSalle.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see LaSalle. I mean, some of these guys who they relied on a lot last year as juniors are seniors. They don't want to let it slip. They don't want to have that reputation of not coming through in big games. So I think they'll be absolutely ready to play. And I think when they're playing their best, they're very, very tough to beat.
Yeah, another team would have to play their absolute best, and LaSalle would have to not play their best, I think, is what it comes down to. I think, like you said, if LaSalle plays their best, I'm not sure that they're going to be beaten.
Yeah.
But, you know, big moment, big stage. We'll see. I think Portsmouth's fairly poised, fairly composed, and those guys on offense, Bobby Chavu and Matt Sewell and a couple other guys are just really, really kind of standout players that big playability. You know, even in the loss to East, they put up 47 points in that game. I mean, these guys can score. And LaSalle has never had to play from behind this year, really, except against West a little bit. So if they do get behind, if Portsmouth is able to break a couple of those big plays, that could be something to watch for. Can LaSalle all of a sudden get their offense in gear when it really matters most, when they're not up 21-7 or 28-7, when they're down 21-7, can they do something? So who knows if we'll get to that point, but if it does, who knows? We could be looking at an upset.
Yeah. We do think LaSalle will avoid the upset. We'll go 35-14 for the Rams. All right, that's going to do it for us here on the podcast. We will be back later this week to talk about the Super Bowl because we're going to have one team in there regardless. But for now, enjoy the games Tuesday night. Both games at 6 o'clock at Hendrickson and at LaSalle. Should be a great night of football. Thanks for joining us.